Hello everyone, you're welcome to another exciting edition of Breakout with Bidi. You all know my name is Bidi Nelson and I'm your host for the show. I apologize for not coming on air last week. It was as a result of the time change which moved my schedule 1 hour ahead. That said, I wish to send my heartfelt condolences to the victims and survivors of the recent natural disaster in Japan. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The tsunami that happened last week. My heart reaches out to all of the people over there, and I really want to implore everyone to rally around these people and give some assistance, no matter how small. You all know that people suffer when there is a natural disaster, but most importantly, children suffer the most. In the previous edition of this show, we are considering the correlation between culture and abuse. We'll be continuing in that stride today. As a matter of fact, today's topic is very controversial. It's all about corporal punishment. Ironically, there has never been, and probably there never will be, a conclusion as regards how to appropriately discipline your kids. Anyway, we will shed some light on corporal punishment in the best way we can. If you want to call into the program, the show is live and you can call in to these numbers. If you are in US or Canada, you can call into the toll-free number 888-815-9756. I'll go again, 888-815-9756. If you're calling from any other country aside the US or Canada, you can call into the direct lines, which is 530-327-7602. That's line one. The second line is 530-413-4510. The third line is 530-413-4522. Like I said, we'll be looking extensively at corporal punishment today. I want this session to be very interactive, so I would encourage you to call in and share your opinions, thoughts, and ask me questions so we can agree on this very controversial topic that we'll be looking at together. Now, we'll start by defining what corporal punishment is. Summarily, corporal punishment is the use of, it's basically an official punishment on a child for misbehavior. So we're using official punishment to check the misbehavior of a child. In other ways, you can define corporal punishment to mean the process of striking a child a number of times methodically, and is usually premeditated. Most times, it's a combination of blaming, shaming, screaming, spanking, slapping, ranting, and raving to make the child compliant. Many cultures have advocated for corporal punishment, probably for a number of reasons. In the Bible, it says, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." So we have many people who believe in the biblical principle saying you need a rod to put the child right. Some other cultures advocate for corporal punishment because it makes the child a better adult in the future and probably less inclined to childish or childlike tendencies. It's used as a physical correction both at home and at school to get the best behavior from a child, protect the child from injury or harm, or swiftly disciplining a child to teach him or her a lesson. It is believed that it provides an immediate response to indiscipline, thus saves quality time for the children to get back to the classroom learning and move on. It's very prevalent in most parts of the world, but has been outlawed in schools of Europe, Canada, Japan, South Africa, New Zealand, and the list goes on. However, in some Asian and African countries, it is still being used even after it has been theoretically outlawed. Let's look at the forms of corporal punishment that are available or that are being used on children. We'll look at the first form of corporal punishment, and we call that caning. Now, this is administered by hitting a child with a rod. So we have strokes and cuts that are inflicted by a single stroke of the cane. Now, these canes can be made of rattan, and the offender's backside or the buttocks of the hands are usually inflicted with a cane. Other times, it can be applied to the knuckles or the shoulders of the child. Also, it can be applied to the soles of the feet. This is called foot whipping. We use caning in schools. We also use it at home. In school, its frequency and severity varies respectively among school settings, and it's influenced by the written or unwritten traditions of the school. In some schools, it's administered solely by the headmaster, while in others, it can be delegated to teachers. It is rare for it to be dedicated to students. Now, when we look at caning at home, it's described as a domestic corporal punishment, and it's prevalent in Africa and Asia. What are the effects of caning on a child? One is that it is very painful. The second is, each time it's administered, it results in red welts and bruises which last for a few days. That's some of the things many children face as a result of being punished by caning them. We'll look at the second form of corporal punishment, which is called paddling. Now, this is the use of a spanking paddle to strike a person on the buttocks. It can also be used for initiation purposes or hazing. Spanking paddles are usually made of wood. It's commonly used in the U.S. at homes and schools to discipline misbehaving students. In fact, a survey result shows that 10% of parents are likely to use it. When paddling is administered incorrectly or excessively, it can damage the capillaries in a person's skin, leading to internal bleeding or hematoma, which is a collection of blood outside the blood vessels. This forms bruises which are visible under the skin even after a month. Some people truly do this to their kids, and it looks very barbaric to me, but it happens. Now, we look at the third form of corporal punishment, and that's the touse, and it's spelled T-A-W-S-E. Now, this is a thong of whip used in educational discipline, majorly in Scotland and other English cities. It's made up of a leather strip with one end split into a number of tails. The thickness and the number of tails varies. It is usually referred to as a school strap or belt. It has already been abolished since the early 1980s. Thank God. The fourth form of corporal punishment is called slippering. S-L-I-P-P-E-R-I-N-G. Now, this is the act of smacking the buttocks with a slipper. It is a form of spanking on the buttocks, and this is more common than slippering on the hand. It can be used in domestic punishment or in school punishment. Now, we have it in schools, and it's usually considered a less severe form of corporal punishment. The usual item used is an item of footwear called plimsoll or gym shoe or tennis shoe. At many schools, slippering was used to punish students for less severe offenses, and it typically involves two or three quick and sharp swats across the seat of the offender's trousers or buttock area. The student bends over the teacher's desk or standing or bending forward with hands and knees. The punishment is administered in the classroom in front of other students to serve as a deterrent to other students. It's considered informal and can be administered by teachers who usually will not have authority to use other forms of corporal punishment. Now, we have slippering, which is used at home, and usually a gym shoe or a standard carpet slippers is a standard carpet slipper, excuse me, is commonly used. It's usually administered in an underwear or unclothed buttock. Strokes can range from 1 to 12. It can be done in the over-the-knee posture or bending over an item of furniture. It seems it's no longer being used as most European countries have banned corporal punishment. And some of the effects of slippering includes slightly bruised buttocks, but no danger or superficial bleeding as with other forms of corporal punishment. Like we saw the case of hematoma. This usually does not happen when slippering is used on a child. Now we look at the fifth form of corporal punishment, and that is called belting. And this is the use of belts, which is made up of leather, to whip the child as a form of corporal punishment. It is used in both schools and at home. It's considered very abusive. The punisher uses his belt on the offender to administer the beating to the bare buttocks and back of that offender, who bends over the punisher's lap or a piece of furniture. It's used a lot by fathers, while moms would rather use a slipper or kitchen utensil. The belt is used to lash in three ways. It can be doubled by holding both ends in one hand, first halving the length and increasing the thickness. It makes it just like a strap. The second way the belt can be used is it can be single if you hold the buckle or you wrap it around your fist. The weight is reduced and the impact is softer on the child. Now, the third way of using it is when you hold that belt at the buckle-less end. So you're holding the belt at the end where there's no buckle so that pain can be inflicted with the buckle region. I feel for many children who go through these forms of punishment just to get the right behavior. I think it's wrong. I think it's barbaric. I think it should stop. Now we look at the sixth form of corporal punishment, and it's called birching, and that is birching. And this is a form of corporal punishment done with a birch rod on the offender's bare buttocks, sometimes to the back or shoulders. Now we're going to check out corporal punishment in Africa, and we're going to be using Nigeria as a case study. Now, typically, the mother dishes out the punishment regularly using anything. She could use shoes, spatula, whips, skillet, the list is endless. Fathers spank fewer times in this area, but they still spank and they use their belts sometimes. Now, corporal punishments are not considered damaging as there are no known cases of suicidal attempts and homicidal attempts by children or the tendency to murder other children at school or physically or sexually assault younger kids or any feeling of rage or bullying other children. So in Nigeria, they believe that the children are better off for it. So they believe use a lot of corporal punishment on your child and you get a better adult. Well, I'll leave that for you to decide on. Now, the third theory that supports corporal punishment in Nigeria, which is our case study, is that it's believed that corporal punishment instills reason and good judgment into a child. It also teaches him to respect his parents and other elderly people. The other theory is that sometimes these punishments move from the home front to the school, with parents disciplining and beating their children in front of the school or class. I wish I knew what you're thinking, but it does happen in Nigeria, and we have parents who really want to instill discipline in their kids, and they move it to the school front away from home just to tell the kids that, look, I'm in charge and I can take you out anytime, anywhere I want. Well, let's let's check out the other theories. And the other theory is that the usual settings for corporal punishment in the home involves the locking up of the children in an enclosed space and dishing out the punishment to them to prevent them from escaping. So we have maybe the moms lock up the kids probably in the bathroom or something and then beat them and so that the kids don't escape, they lock the doors. Well, the next theory is that before the corporal punishment is meted out, the children are usually given warnings upon warnings with a clause that the child's misbehavior is accumulating and the parents' rage will soon bubble over. Now, when that rage bubbles over, you can guess what happens afterwards. The other theory is that some of these children run sometimes under the bed or out of the house and stay outdoors late into the night until a kind neighbor accompanies them home to plead on their behalf. What sort of parents would have to wait for a neighbor or a stranger or a third party to plead with him or her to allow his child to come home because he wants to dish out a punishment to that child? This is something we need to ponder about. The other theory is that corporal punishment usually makes the children more mischievous and sneaky than normal as they try and cover their tracks through lying to avoid any beatings. They sometimes anticipate the spankings and prepare for it by stretching, jogging around the house, and gearing themselves up for it. I hope you're not laughing, because it probably sounds funny, but it's really not funny. The other theory is that corporal punishment is also more administered to the older children than their younger siblings, because the older children are sometimes punished for the misdeeds of the younger ones. Now, some of these children believe beating is better than other forms of punishment because beating is quick and one can be over with it soon enough than the longer, non-violent and painful punishment postures that must be assumed by the offender. So the kids are thinking, all right, get on over with it as quickly as possible. I want to move on to something else. They're not learning any lesson. They just want you to spank them swiftly and then they move on to something else. And I don't think that is discipline. Now, it's believed that giving the child time out is usually nothing but playtime to indulge in non-useful and non-beneficial activities such as watching television, making phone calls to friends, and this does not deter the child from repeating his wrongdoings. Well, I'm wondering. It's also believed that punishing a child, even if it means asking them to do chores that are above and beyond their daily assignments, is more effective in disciplining a child. Well, I'll let you decide on what you think about that. Now, in some cases, children are injured as a result of beating them with hard objects. The parents thereafter take them to the hospital. Oh, I'm sure some people can relate to what I'm saying. Some kids who are now adults, when they were younger, they were spanked as children and were injured. Probably suffered from broken wrists or broken bones, and they had to be taken to the hospitals, all under the guise of punishment. I wonder what sort of punishment people met out to children. What do you eventually get out of this barbaric attitude? Now, children, after a while, and as they grow older, become immune to spanking. Other times, it's as a result of defiance. So what you breed out of constant spanking is you breed children who now they know what it feels like to be beaten up. They anticipate it, they jump around the house, they jar themselves up for it, they stretch and they prepare their minds, they prepare their bodies, they get the spanking, they move on. And at the end of the day, you have defiant young children who really don't care about what you're saying at the end of the day. This is really, really sad. Now, we have corporal punishment that is used in schools. And we're seeing this in Nigeria as a case study here. We have instances where teachers will flog children randomly without knowledge of the child's health history. It happens a lot. There are also cases where teachers flog sleeping children in the class without finding out why. Some of these children do not take breakfast. Some of them live far away from school or are caught in a traffic holdup. But these teachers just flog wildly for other reasons, such as late coming, without investigating the cause. I'm sure you can, your heart can reach and feel for these children, because I tell you, my heart does feel for them. We'll look at corporal punishment in the corporal punishment in Africa and children's views and experiences of corporal punishment. And then we have this survey that was done in South Africa for children between the ages of 6 to 18 years, and they shared their views on what they felt about corporal punishment. We'll be looking at that shortly, but I want us to go for a short break, and I'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere. You're welcome to Breakout with BD. My name is BD Minelson. I'm excited to have you back on the show. Before we went on the short break, we were looking at the views of children and the experiences of children in Africa who have suffered under the auspices of corporal punishment. And I said as before I went on break that a survey was done between the ages of 6 to 18-year-old children in South Africa. And these children shared their views, experiences, and feelings about corporal punishment at home and at school. Now, this survey cuts across the socioeconomic level of that country, and the children were asked to talk about the last time they were punished, both at home and school, or either of them. Now, the findings were that, first, boys and girls of all ages and different income categories received corporal punishment, but children from environments with the highest incomes were exempted, as no cases of corporal punishment was reported. The second finding was that children from low-income families were exposed to the most severe form of corporal punishment, both at home and at school. The third finding was that the study was not based exclusively on income distribution, but also stress level and associated relationship problems. Now, we're looking at the level of stress and the relationship problems that these children encounter at home or at school, and the level of stress of the stress level of the parents or teachers administering the corporal punishment on the children. Now, the fourth finding showed that schools in high income areas also did not seem to practice corporal punishment, but used non-violent forms of discipline. It also seems that the more corporal punishment was experienced in rural areas than urban areas. Now we're going to check out the views and experiences and feelings of children who have undergone or who have been administered with corporal punishment. And some of these views include the first one is that the children feel that corporal punishment is humiliating, especially when it's done in front of other people and when people see the results of the punishment. Now, the second view is that it hurts the emotion of the child and creates resentment towards the person that administers that punishment, especially when it's done excessively or wrongly or vindictively. Now, the third experience of the child is that corporal punishment is also degrading when children hold a humiliating and painful position for a long time and do physically humiliating activities in front of the class. Your guess is as good as mine. I'm sure some of us went through this as kids, and you can relate with this experience. Now, the fourth experience was that corporal punishment makes the children tense, unsafe, and scared, because it's usually administered as a result of anger, hostility, malice, or grudge. So you have a child who is tense, who feels unsafe, who feels scared, because he knows that the person who is administering the punishment is doing it as a result of his anger, as a result of some hostility, malice, or a grudge. Now we have the other experience, which includes that children consider shouting at them and name-calling a form of violence. Children will prefer dialogue, friendly interrogation, and the absence of cursing or swearing to corporal punishment. And the last one is that children also feel sad and angry when administered with corporal punishment. Anger is the usual response in schools, especially if the corporal punishment is unfair. Sadness is the more common emotional reaction at home. So we have anger as a response at school and sadness as a response at home. Other reactions include crying, fear, embarrassment, withdrawal, and compliance. Now, I would like to share with you some of the expression of children who have suffered some form of corporal punishment. And I'll just share a couple of what they said. One of them, a girl in Limpopo, was saying, when my mom hits me, it feels like she doesn't love me. When my mom hits me, it feels like she doesn't love me. Another boy in Western Cape Town was saying, I felt like killing someone. Now, these are what these kids had to say after they were asked about their feelings, after they were administered with a corporal punishment. Another boy in Western Cape Town also said, I beat children up because I was angry. You need to get close to your children and see how they feel on the inside when you use corporal punishment, and when you do so excessively, when you do so in an unfair way, many of these children become what we really don't want them to be. You're trying to get a better child. What you end up creating is a monstrous child. I think it's time for us to really begin to look at other ways of administering discipline, and positive discipline at that. Now, I'd like us to look at something that we need to put to heart, and that is we need to consider how corporal punishment becomes a form of child abuse. Now, we're going to look at some things quickly. I will start. We'll start by saying that when spanking is done out of malice or grudge or anger or lingering hostility, then it becomes a form of child abuse. When spanking is done excessively, maybe you beat up a child at every interval or every opportunity that he misbehaves, that becomes a form of child abuse. Why don't you just try out dialogue? Now, when spanking is done severely, using the handle of a machete or a skillet or the buckle of a belt, that is certainly a form of child abuse. When spanking inflicts bodily harm or disfigures the child, probably by breaking his limbs or severely bruising him, this actually violates the child's right to health and bodily integrity. When spanking is done to beat the child out of existence or beat him into a shell of himself, this violates the child's freedom of expression, participation, thought, and conscience. It also breeds bad parenting or dysfunctional parenting. We confuse children by telling them that it is wrong to beat up other children, and it's wrong for other children to beat up other children, but it's not wrong for adults who are bigger and stronger than children to beat children up. So we adults confuse the children and tell them it's wrong for adults to beat up other adults, It's wrong for children to beat up other children, but there's nothing wrong with a big, mighty, strong, larger-than-life adult beating up a very little child. That's conflicting and confusing to the child. Now, it's also very cruel, it's degrading and humiliating, and violates the child's right to protection from assault, health, and physical integrity. Now we'll go for a long break, and when we come back, we'll be looking at how does corporal punishment work in a child. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this long break. Wow, if you're just joining us on the BBS network, you're welcome to Breakout with BD. I'm excited to be back. And I told you the lines you can call into. The program is live. We would want you to share your opinions, share your thoughts, ask us questions. And we just want it to be as interactive as much as it can. I can't wait to hear from you. We'll continue with how corporal punishment works on children, how corporal punishment affects children. And we'll look at a survey done by Dr. Richard Neolon. He came up with a couple of results, and we'll look at it quickly. We'll look at the first one, which says immediate compliance is ensured. Now, when you administer corporal punishment to a child, you get immediate compliance. Well, that's good for a start, but the long-term effects, we'll see that as we continue. Now, the second way corporal punishment affects children is the moral internalization is the moral internalization is decreased. When I say moral, I'm talking about M-O-R-A-L. We'll go on a short break. We'll be right back. And if you're just joining us, this is Beta Obidi on the BBS Radio Station 1. I'm glad to have you back. I was just talking about how corporal punishment works and how it affects a child. And this research was done by Dr. Richard Neolon, and he got the following results. Now, we'll look at it, and he started by saying that when you administer corporal punishment to a child, the compliance of that child is ensured. So what you get is, you want him to do something immediately, he does it immediately. But we really don't look at the long-term effects of administering that punishment to a child. Now, we'll look at the second way it works, and we look at moral internalization, and that is absolutely decreased. Now, when I talk about moral internalization, I'm talking about M-O-R-A-L. Now, you want the child to understand, you want him to have the ability to understand and be instilled by good morals. But you eventually decrease this ability with punishment. As a result of this, the failure of the child to internalize rules is certain, and so also is obeying them. So, that is, he immediately complies to what you want him to do, but he cannot relate with the long-term objective of punishing him. He cannot internalize the rules you want him to remember, to keep instilled in himself. And also, it's difficult to obey what you do not know or probably what you don't remember. So that's the second finding. Now, the third finding was that aggression is increased. Now, in corporal punishment, aggression begets aggression. Parents, who use physical aggression to stop their children's aggression will only get more aggressive children. In fact, studies have shown that using corporal punishment to stop aggression increases aggressive behavior in children by 50%. Thus, corporal punishment perpetuates the recurrence of aggressive behavior. Now, the next finding was that antisocial behavior also increases. Now, this occurs more among children of 10 to 12 years of age and also among boys. Ironically, boys are more likely to be spanked, and this encourages antisocial behavior. In fact, corporal punishment is associated with an increased risk of adult criminal behavior. So you find out that you are trying to instill a positive social behavior in the child, but what you get is you are instilling an antisocial behavior into that child, and it affects them in adulthood. Now, the next finding was that the quality of parent-child relationship is decreased. Now, the time parents and children spend together is ironically the time within which parents spank their children. Interestingly, parents spank children when their misbehavior most likely places them in harm's way. So you try to maybe save the child or prevent him from hurting himself, and you do that by spanking. And the sad part is that children might begin to associate aggression with expressing love, and usually
will suffer an increased risk of victimization in adulthood. So you find a lot of people who are adults who feel that when they are victimized, it's a sign of love. But we all know that that's a serious malfunctioning. And some of these things stem out of the childhood they suffered, or the form of childhood they had when corporal punishment was the order of the day. Now, the next finding is that the quality of mental health is reduced. They are looking at the mental health of the children. Now, this is true because corporal punishment affects children between the ages of 5 to 8 years more severely. And it is at this time that significant cognitive, emotional, and social development occurs. Now, if corporal punishment is going to reduce the quality of the mental health of these children, why do we continue to administer it? We are looking at significant developmental phase in the life of a child. We are looking at his cognitive development, his emotional development, his social development, and corporal punishment hampers, in fact, inhibits development along these lines. And it causes the quality of the mental health of that child to decline, to reduce, and probably not develop to the fullest capacity. Now we'll look at the next result, and that's that the adult abusive behavior is increased. Now, a lot of parent-child abusive incidents occur to teach the child a lesson. And this is exactly what brings about adult abusive behaviors. Abuse begets abuse. The cycle continues, and one's grandchildren may likely suffer abuse. So when a parent administers corporal punishment to check his child, that child is most likely to do the same to his own children, and it becomes a vicious cycle that probably will never end. I thank God for this show. I'm grateful that many of us will pick something from what we're talking about today and make the necessary amends when it comes to disciplining our children. Now, most studies have shown that corporal punishment increases negative behaviors more than the positive ones. This, however, does not mean if a child is spanked once or twice or every other day, they will become a bad individual. But as the severity and frequency of corporal punishment increases, so does the risk of negative behavior. In fact, women who speak up against domestic violence are the usual perpetrators of corporal punishment. Studies have shown that parents that administer corporal punishment are usually much younger parents, more aggressive, sometimes depressed, inconsistent, ineffective in parenting, and they rely a lot on authoritarian techniques of instilling discipline and indoctrinating children on giving moral values. That's really a long characteristic of parents that want to get children to do what they want by becoming authoritarian. They're looking at them being younger parents. They are more aggressive. They are not happy. They are not consistent. They are not effective at parenting. And they want to show that they are the boss. So they keep telling their kids, look, you need to do this because I'm the boss and this is how I want it to be done. Now, what you get is that the quality of the corporal punishment, the severity, the frequency, the increase in frequency also increases the risk for abusive behaviors by parents to children. We'll look at the differences between positive discipline and corporal punishment. And I'm using the word positive discipline because there is discipline that is not positive, that is probably permissive, but there is discipline that is positive. But we'll leave that discussion for another time. But at the moment, let's check out the differences between positive discipline and corporal punishment. Now, the first difference is that positive discipline is not based on force or violence, whereas corporal punishment always involves the use of force or violence. So we have parents or teachers using a lot of force in hitting the child, in inflicting pain, in humiliating the child. There's a lot of violence. And we are saying that the rights of a child prevents or allows a child to exercise his right not to be a victim of violence. So when you use force of violence on a child, you are actually abusing the right of that child. Now, the second difference is that children learn from mistakes when they are being disciplined positively. So with positive discipline, children learn from their mistakes. But with corporal punishment, children actually suffer for their mistakes. Now, that's a whole lot of difference. There's a learning process and there's a suffering process. We certainly, as good parents, don't want our children to suffer for whatever reason. So we should try and use the positive discipline instead of corporal punishment. Now, we'll look at the third difference, and that is positive discipline does not bring about rebellion, resentment, revenge, retreat. And retreat includes lying, learning not to get caught, running away, and a host of other funny tricks that children come up with. Now, when you use positive discipline, you don't get a child to rebel against you. You don't get a child to resent you. You don't get a child to begin to not revengeful thoughts against you or wanting to retreat. But you have all of that. I call it the four R's. Rebellion, resentment, revenge, and retreat. I call it the four R's. You have all of that encompassed around corporal punishment. In fact, that is what corporal punishment is all about. Now, the next difference is positive discipline takes time. It takes thoughts, love, compassion, and creativity. Now, we are saying that when you want to discipline your child, it should take time. It's not swift like corporal punishment that is done within a twinkle of an eye. And it allows you to sit down and reason. You need to understand how to discipline the child, the results, the objective, the results you want to achieve, the lesson you want the child to learn. Discipline has to be done out of love, because we're actually disciplining our children or disciplining our students to make them better people. Discipline has to be done out of compassion, because for God's sakes, these people are human beings like yourself. With discipline comes creativity. If you discipline a child in a particular way today, you should not continue in that way tomorrow. That in that way, we have a diversity of discipline a child, and you get the message. You know, you get it home to the child as quickly as possible. But with corporal punishment, it's done quickly. Parents don't think about it. Once the child misbehaves, even before you think about, you know, before you can think about the whole process, you hit the child. Sometimes it's done spontaneously, and there's nothing lovable about corporal punishment. It does not show any element of love. There is certainly no compassion about it, and there is no creativity. It's done the same way. You hit the child, you stand up, you call him names, you swear, you run to rave. There's a lot of anger, grudges, malice, hostility, a lot of barbarism, if I can use that term now. A lot of unacceptable, unwholesome behavior in the air when there's corporal punishment. And then we have that discipline is all about teaching. With positive discipline, we want to teach children on how to behave. But with corporal punishment, we want children to comply instantly with what we want them to do. So discipline is all about teaching, while corporal punishment is all about getting instant compliance. Now, what is the way forward when it comes to child discipline? Now, I want you to know that spanking is not the only method of punishment. There are other alternatives. I want you to also measure our discipline according to the offense. And before a positive discipline is meted out to a child, have a dialogue on the following: the nature of the offense and the nature of its discipline. And you also must administer that discipline. You must also extract from the child an admission that he deserved the discipline. You must also extract from that child a resolution not to commit the same misdeed again. Now, after administering that discipline, you need to show and assure him of your love and affection. This will not only heal him, but will make him feel loved and will make him love you and respect you the more. And please, parents and teachers, do not be hypercritical. This is a sure method of provoking your children or students. Do not cut down on your children or students or tell them that they are no good, because if you tell them they are good for nothing, they would leave to your negative opinion. Now, remember that when you administer discipline, administer it after your anger and indignation has subsided, when you are no longer angry, when you are no longer feeling furious. That's the best time to administer positive discipline. And also remember, most importantly, the purpose of discipline. It is to serve as a deterrent to unwanted or deviant behavior. Now, we're going to be concluding this show quickly by looking at what are the things that should be embedded in positive discipline. I'm running out of time here, but I'll just run through it quickly. I want you to know that discipline must allow a child to understand the consequences of his actions. It must allow you to teach your child conflict resolution skills and must allow your child to develop his strengths. Wow, it's been an exciting day today. We were not able to hold Angels on a Mission, but we'll be doing that next week. We'll be continuing next week on a very exciting topic, and we'll be looking at human trafficking, and the coming week also we'll consider that. I'm so happy to be on air tonight, and I really want to appreciate all of you for listening in. I want to tell you at this moment, this is the best time you can make amends. Everybody learns. Everybody has the opportunity to be better. You can be a better parent. You can be a better teacher. It's all about your intention. And remember what I always tell you, be the part of the change that is fair. And when I say change of a better world to our children, it starts with your intention. I love you guys. I'll be catching up with you next week. And it was fun being here with you. Thank you. Take good care. Bye-bye.